Ramadan Reflections, Day 23. The mother of Prophet Musa and the wife of the Pharaoh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Ramadan Reflections. Today being the 23rd day of the month of Ramadan, 2023. Now, 23rd day, let me just mention here, as probably needs no mention, but we're almost at the end of this blessed month. 23rd fast today means there's only potentially 7 more days of fasting after today. And then the end of Ramadan comes. Yes, Eid comes, a day of festivity, a day of celebration. But as the hadith of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, tells us, that every day in which a believer does not sin against the ordinances of God is a day of Eid. It truly becomes a sad day, actually, the day of Eid, because we are then out of the special mercy and blessings of Allah. The same Quran that we are reading today and every day in this month of Ramadan, every verse that we read is equivalent to the recitation of the entire Quran in any other month. We don't get that reward on the day of Eid, unfortunately, and after until next year. In the month of Ramadan, our sleep is an act of worship. And other than Ramadan, we don't get that same reward, brothers and sisters. And so let us double down our efforts in this last 7 days and try and increase in our recitation of Quran and our acts of charity and goodness to one another, and obviously in our pursuit of knowledge. Now yesterday, if you were with us, we reviewed a series of verses from Surah Taha, chapter 20, about the status of the mother and sister of Prophet Musa. Now it is true that the story of Prophet Musa and the salvation of the Bani Israel is an amazing anecdote of the Quran. And it takes up multiple chapters and hundreds of verses, right from Surah Al-Baqarah all the way through the Quran, where we see various snippets of their event. However, what is perhaps more striking than the story of Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, and his eventual success in saving the Bani Israel, is the way that Allah speaks about and treats his mother, as was clear in the verses that we saw yesterday and other verses of the Quran, and also what we are going to review today in Ramadan Reflections, as we study, not like the other women in the Quran. Now, on top of this is also how Allah speaks about the wife of Fir'aun, of the Pharaoh, of the tyrant of the time. Although she's not mentioned by name in the Quran, and we talked about this yesterday, many people are not mentioned by name, but the hadith point us that her name is Asiya bint Muzahim. Now, she was a woman living in the lap of luxury, the wife of the self-proclaimed god of Egypt. However, she in no way resembled the manners or ideology of her husband. And this is a fact that we understand, that husband and wife can be on different spiritual paths in life. In fact, we're told that she is at such a level that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, has noted that there are 4 specific women that have the highest rank in paradise. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Ummul Mu'mineen, the first and most beloved wife of the Prophet. Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her, the beloved daughter of the Prophet. Maryam bint Imran, the mother of Prophet Isa. And Asiya bint Muzahim, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. And the verse for today and the theme, we wanted to look further at how Allah and the Quran speak about and speak directly to the mother of Musa. And also how in the same passage, Allah introduces one that will eventually take care of and bring up the son of the mother of Musa, that is the wife of the Pharaoh. 2 people have polar opposites in terms of lifestyle and, you know, their living styles. And so in chapter 28, Surah Al-Qasas, verses 7, 8, and 9, Allah says the following. We inspired the mother of Musa, saying, suckle him for a time without anxiety for his life. Then when you have cause to fear for him, put him in the river and do not fear or grieve. We will surely return him to you and make him one of our messengers. Then the family of Pharaoh picked him up, only for him, Musa, peace be upon him, to be an adversary and a source of grief for them. Indeed, the Pharaoh, Haman, and their hosts were habitually in the wrong, sinful in their treatment of people and especially the children of Israel. The Pharaoh's wife, Asiya, said to him, to the Pharaoh, here is a child that will be a means of happiness for me and for you. Do not kill him. Maybe he will prove useful for us, or we may adopt him as a son. They were unaware of how the events were being prepared and how their outcome would turn to be in the end. It's quite the turn of events, you must agree, in the life of that baby that will grow to be Prophet Musa, peace be upon him. But rather than focusing on him, because it's not about him today, it's again about women in the Quran, let's look at the two women mentioned in this passage of verses from Surah Al-Qasas. First off is obviously the mother of Musa, peace be upon her. Peace be upon both of them. We spoke about her yesterday, as you'll recall, in our discussion. And in this first verse under review for today, we are presented with a unique statement from Allah. The mother of Musa, peace be upon him. Again, not a imam or a prophet or a messenger. She was given revelation and two commandments were given to her. Two prohibitions were given to her. And two pieces of good news were given to her. Now again, keep in mind our theme, brothers and sisters, of not like the other women in the Quran. And how does Allah speak to this woman in the Quran, to the mother of Musa? Well, he starts the discussion by telling us that he inspired the mother of Musa with two commandments. One was suckle him, breastfeed him for a time without any anxiety for his life. Don't worry about him at this point. Take care of your infant son, provide him the nourishment he needs, and we'll take care of the rest, God is saying. Number two, as God says, when you have a cause to fear for him, then put him in the river. Then she's given two prohibitions. Allah forbids her from doing two things. Do not fear and do not grieve. So two commandments, two prohibitions, but then God gives her two pieces of good news. So this is not just one revelation coming and boom, you're done. No, this is a very detailed revelation, inspiration God is giving to the mother of Musa. And what is the two pieces of good news God is giving her? Number one, we will surely return him to you. So she will get her son back. And number two, we will surely make him one of our messengers. Imagine God is telling the mother of Musa, peace be upon her, peace be upon both of them. Now just reflect on this for 2 minutes, brothers and sisters, or a minute maybe. Allah is telling a non-infallible, if we want to call her that, but Allah is basically telling a woman who is not a prophet or a messenger or imam that your son will become our messenger, one of our messengers. But yet some people have the audacity to claim that the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, had no clue that he was going to be a messenger. And it was at the age of 40 where out of the blue, he was randomly chosen by God and God told him, oh, by the way, we're making you a prophet. If Jesus can be made a prophet in the cradle, if the mother of Musa, who is not even a prophet, is given the good news that her son will be made one of the messengers, then what can we say about our beloved Prophet Muhammad? May Allah bless him and his family. Let me now turn to the second woman mentioned in this passage, and that is the wife of the Pharaoh, Asiya. May God's peace and blessings be upon her. Now, historians note that the Pharaoh and his wife Asiya only had one daughter. They had no sons. They could not conceive a son to carry on his lineage and his legacy and maybe take over the kingdom that he had at that time. And the promises of Allah, we're told, were made true because whoever laid their eyes on Musa, the baby, would instantly fall in love with him, even his worst enemies. And thus, when he arrives just outside their house, the palace of the Pharaoh and his wife on the banks of the Nile River in present-day Egypt, he arrives on the river in a basket. He's brought into their house. Although the Pharaoh had determined that that year all male children of the children of Israel, all male infants of the children of Israel, were to be put to death, one glance at Musa and Pharaoh's heart melted. And he decides with his wife to keep this child, keep this baby. As she says, either he could be a helper or he can be their adopted son. At this instance in the Quran, brothers and sisters, Allah quotes the words of Asiya, where when she first looks at Prophet Musa in that little wooden box, she turns to her husband, the Pharaoh, and says the beautiful words that Allah directly quotes in the Quran, that here is a child that would be a means of happiness for me and for you, O Pharaoh. Don't kill him. Maybe he will prove useful for us, or maybe we could adopt him as a son. Now, it's interesting, if you continue on, if you review this story, it's interesting how Allah ends the verse by saying that they were about to take this baby into their house and bring him up as their own son, a son that they could not conceive. However, that they had no idea what they were getting themselves into. Little did the Pharaoh know that this same baby that his wife was so in love with, this cute little baby that just pops, you know, just shows up on the banks of the river in a basket, and that she convinced her husband to take in as their own child, would one day be the same one that causes the downfall of the Pharaoh. This is exactly what Allah says. They were unaware of how the events were being prepared and how their outcome would turn to be in the end. The same baby they brought up who was found in the water would be the same Musa that would actually end up going through the water and the Pharaoh being drowned. So he saved Moses technically from water and he was killed by the water. In this way, Allah provides the readers, you and I, yet another woman that has exemplified the noble ethical qualities such that they're worthy of being mentioned in the Quran at great length. And for Allah to quote them, not just the mother of Musa, but the wife of the Pharaoh is quoted in the Quran. Both of these women would be exemplary role models that would have a role in nurturing and upbringing of this baby. That one day he would launch a revolution to destroy the pharaonic rule of Egypt and save Bani Israel from the hundreds and hundreds of years of bondage and slavery they were facing, and become one of Allah's greatest messengers, one of the five Ulul Azam prophets that God has sent to this world. There are many other women in the Quran that are worthy to study, and I'm going to end here and remind you, the viewers and the listeners, that we're going to continue tomorrow with another look at the Quran and focus on another great women personality or some great women personalities that are mentioned in the Quran. And again, tomorrow we're going to turn our attention to yet another verse or two, which speaks about two women, again mentioned in parallel along one another, women who have changed the course of history and are great role models. We're going to touch upon the life of Asiya again, the wife of the Pharaoh, and her amazing spirituality and her beautiful du'as to Allah that Allah loved so much he quotes in the Quran, as well as Maryam bint Imran, the mother of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon both of them, and the special favors which Allah showered upon her in her lifetime, and obviously after her death, that we still remember her. So I'm going to conclude, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Remember that tomorrow we will be continuing our review of Ramadan Reflections and looking at two more great women of the Quran in our theme of Not Like the Other Women in the Quran. Until tomorrow, wassalamu alaikum jamian wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.